welcome to episode 25 of the Created Listening Podcast. This is Chris Berkheimer. I have killed Luke Laris for tying me up and throwing me in that closet. So, yeah, I heard the Pacific Rim review, Luke, so I know.
Yeah.
Hi, Luke.
Hi.
With me as always.
Not Luke Laris.
Not Luke Laris. That's right. Doppel Luke. Luke's double.
No, no. I'm Laris Luke.
You're Laris Luke, as seen in the phone book. We have some silent people with us today. Noah Beeland is sitting across from me.
Hello.
Hello. Murad is back.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all. And Meredith is here.
Hi.
Actually, I don't think, except for Luke, Luke, you were the only one here that was on episode 24. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I was there in spirit.
You were there in spirit. I was there gagged and tied.
Yeah.
In the closet.
Yeah, all those voices you heard, those were all mine and recorded simultaneously.
Yes.
So.
And we're back in my apartment, but I think we've already agreed Barry's studio is better because it's a studio. It's a studio. What are you going to do? It's all right. We'll go back there soon. Barry, we're coming. You think he listens?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he does.
You think he does?
Yeah.
Cool. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Barry. What's going on?
So we want to talk about a few things. First, I want to say I am back from my trip, and we also did camp, and good God, I'll talk about that a little later. But I did manage to see Pacific Rim, so let's just have full-on spoiler talk real quick about Pacific Rim, because I want to talk about it. So skip, I would say, about 7 to 10 minutes ahead if you haven't seen it yet. Because I saw it, and Noah, have you seen it?
Yes.
Murad,
yes,
Meredith,
yep.
So everyone at the table, Luke, I know, saw it. So I went and saw it in 3D, and I loved it. I had a very fun time. I think, I'm going to go ahead and say it was my favorite summer blockbuster this year.
Yeah, same here.
Did 3D make a difference?
3D, to me, made a difference.
Really?
Right away, when he's talking about, I thought aliens were going to come from the stars. The stars are flying at you, and then you go underwater, and the fish are in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to the fights later. Pretty impressive. And it's a movie that makes no bones about. It's a movie where monsters fight robots.
Yes.
And that's what it is.
It's simple
and
as that.
As simple as that. I think the movie, I think it would be doing a lot better if it wasn't for Transformers, because I think people have been kind of turned off by that. Trying to be more than a movie, more than meets the eye, you know? But
it was
Michael Bay.
Godzilla meets Transformers in a better.
Well, but it's like, you know what? Let's just have everybody fight. And our only messages will be simple, like everybody team up together to defeat someone else. I mean, come on.
Pretty much.
It's pretty fun. You guys talked about your favorite Jaegers. I don't think anybody gave enough love for a good old America, because I like Gypsy the most. Because
really?
Gypsy had a sword. And that sword, they should have just brought out right away. The money shot of that movie for me is when Gypsy's being carried by the flying kaiju. And he cuts it with a sword.
Well, I think
that was that
really
to me.
Cool.
That was the money shot of the film. That was so cool.
Amazing.
I want a poster of that—a widescreen HD poster—and people can say, "I hate you," and I'll be like, "God bless my country." So
any super fans, that's what Chris wants for his birthday.
Oh my God, draw me that. Hey, I turned 27 in a few months. So
getting old.
When my brother turned 30, I kind of freaked out because I was like, "My brother doesn't turn 30." But whatever. Anyways, that's random. Other notes on Pacific Rim. I loved actually, I think Bethany liked it even more, my wife. The two scientists together, Charlie Day being one of them, the geeky one. He has tattoos of the kaiju and everything. I thought all that was great.
Yes.
And the one British scientist is super cliche in every way, but they embrace that. He does his math on a chalkboard, even though it's the future, and he could do it on holograms, and he's got a cane, and he's like, let's have at it, old chap, and he doesn't know how to dap that or pound it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That was so great. Guillermo del Toro, who directed it, he did the Hellboy movies, and then a movie I really love, probably in my formative year of film. My formative year of film was 2006, and Pan's Labyrinth was a big part of that. I love that movie to death. It is so well shot. The script is fantastic. I would read the script just like I would read a book. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Oh, I liked it. I can't watch it, though.
Yeah, it's difficult to watch. Definite content warning on that one. There are like four scenes in it where I'm like, ooh, this is rough. And there's a scene with a stuttering guy. Do you remember that?
The beer bottle?
No, there's the stuttering guy that he's being interrogated, and he's like, if you can count to three, then I'll let you go. And you're like, please, stuttering guy, count to three, but he can't do it. And it was super hard to watch. Have you ever seen that, Meredith? Oh, I love that movie, but it's a difficult one to watch.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Pretty graphic.
If anybody ever saw it once and was like, I liked it, but I never want to watch it again, I completely understand. Anyways.
I need to watch it. We talked about that before, but yeah. You were like, content warning, don't watch it on your Netflix, because if your parents see
it, I was trying to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, Pacific Rim, I hope they do another one, but they have to do it in the right way. I loved all the creature designs, all the bioluminescence,
yes.
Like when some of them glowed. I don't know. You guys talked about it a lot, but...
Yeah.
I loved when Gold Boot Dude got eaten.
Ron Perlman.
That was my least favorite part of the movie.
Who plays Hellboy.
I missed him.
You missed him? No, well, did you say for the stinger?
There was a stinger. Okay, they all left.
Okay, well, then I will keep my mouth shut, because there is a stinger to that movie.
What?
Yeah, there's a stinger to Pacific Rim.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did we leave?
I don't know why y'all left, but Bethany and I stayed there, even though I had to pee outrageously. But, yeah.
Yeah, I was there, and they all got up, and I was
okay.
Like,
Murad recalls it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Not really leading up to a sequel or anything.
I think a sequel would be a bad thing.
In my opinion. I don't know. I could see them. You know what I was thinking for a sequel? Here's my idea for Pacific Rim sequel. Do it like 150 years in the future, where they're like, you know what? We can stop worrying about the kaiju coming back. And then just when they're ready to close doors and they're not training pilots anymore, then they have to bring them back. And do that's half an idea. Guillermo del Toro, I leave it to you to think of the second half of that. But,
I think he listens.
He listens. Oh, yeah. Well, you know he's a huge nerd. Like, his house has secret passages and everything. I love that man. He is hilarious. He's built like a hobbit, and he loves geek stuff. So how could you not love him? And he has a great little Spanish accent.
He almost directed The Hobbit, right?
He was definitely one of the front runners when Peter Jackson wasn't going to do it.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
But
let me ask you a question, because I've heard a little controversy on this. What did you guys think about Pacific Rim kind of starting in the middle of the story, as opposed to like when the first kaiju showed up? Did you guys... Because the first 5 minutes is a lot of narration and setup.
I liked that.
Yeah, like maybe they could do a prequel instead of a sequel.
They could do a prequel. I don't know, but I'm just saying I did kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I realized some of the acting's not the best. Some of the characters are completely flat, even though I liked the Russian.
Yes.
I heard you guys talk a little bit about Bioshock, but they were the cliche Russians. You guys said you liked the Crimson Typhoon Jaeger, but he goes out right away.
Yeah, well, they all did. I didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a flimsy thing. It looks cool, but it was fragile.
Yeah, so cool movie. We are going to do, on today's show, we're going to talk some X-Men. We're going to talk The Wolverine, because some of us just went and saw it, and the rest of us, everyone here has seen it. Yeah. And I think this will be our crew all the way through. Bam. Unless one dies. I'm going to kill you. Try to take it. This was a 50-50 podcast. No, I'm kidding. I was in the future at the time, actually. Yeah, Philippines are 12 hours ahead of you.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to talk all that. But today we saw some trailers, and Comic-Con just happened. So I want to talk a little bit about the future. But maybe before we do that, does everybody have their monster movie recommendations or Pacific Rim related shows and movies ready to roll?
Yep.
Noah's definitely ready, because he and I kind of have a shared one here. So if you liked Pacific Rim, we're going to give you our recommendations for types of movies maybe you should watch now or shows. So Noah, what do you got?
Cloverfield,
yes.
Definitely.
Why do you like Cloverfield?
Well, in a sense, like, I like the way that it follows, like, the characters that are, like, helpless. Like,
yeah.
They basically have, like, no way to fight.
They're not military leaders or scientists.
Like, it doesn't follow, like, a bunch of military guys.
Yeah.
Like, it follows just, like, the most random civilians.
I think you're giving Meredith a headache, a migraine.
No, I'm sorry. I was really trying to think of an alien movie right now.
Oh, okay.
Really
She's thinking. All right. We'll leave you alone. Now, Noah, did J.J. Abrams direct Cloverfield?
Yes.
No, he did not.
No, he produced it.
Was a producer. It's who tied into the Abrams universe. I think his name is Matt something. He's done like one other movie. Anyways, but I think he knocked it out of the park with directing this one. It has T.J. Miller holding the camera, which he is a very funny comedian. I'm trying to think of actually just his interview on the Nerdist podcast. You should listen to it. And he's the guest on one podcast. It's like something with T.J. Miller. I forget, but he's always the same guest. They always treat him like he's the first time guest or something. I don't know. I don't listen to it that much, but I was telling you earlier when I saw Cloverfield, it kind of got laughed at because of the ending. People were really upset by that.
Yeah, I kind of didn't like the ending.
I wasn't crazy about the ending.
They could have done it better.
But it worked for me because it's a found footage movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they get nauseous when they watch these, and I can understand that, especially when they're running from a monster, so they're looking up and running, which can make you dizzy if you do it in real life.
Yeah.
But overall, it's one of those movies. Have you guys ever had a movie where, like, for a month, just you'll pop it in three or four times, or you put it in before you go to bed and just fall asleep? It was one of those movies for me.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in it.
There are a lot of Easter eggs. Oh, yeah.
Like, between, like the film cuts, like, you can see different, like, old movies have, like, monsters, like King Kong and stuff from, like, the 30s.
There's a Slush-O t-shirt, which shows up in all of Abrams' movies. There's a lot of Easter eggs in there. So that is one that if you missed it in the theater because you heard it was going to make you sick and stuff, try it. Give it a try at home. Give it the old rental. So who's next? Who's got one? Oh, we're all shaking our heads. Uh-oh.
Troll 2.
Oh, snap. Troll 2 doesn't have any giant monsters, but it is a giant movie, and it's ambition.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. We haven't actually done a proper Troll 2 discussion.
I don't remember if we did or didn't. I think I remember watching it, and then maybe we briefly mentioned it.
But we need to have, like, a full-on, like...
Well, the one I want to watch next is Miami Connection, which is now on Netflix. I have not seen it, so I don't know if it's... How I know it's like rated R, but all I know is it was made by a guy in the 80s that was a Taekwondo instructor and played in a rock band. He was like, I want to make a movie about my two favorite things, Taekwondo and rock music. So they sing songs about Taekwondo, and then they have to stop ninjas that are smuggling cocaine into Miami. And to me, that sounds like a great movie, and it's positive for the Draft House because... The Draft House has guys, they're called programmers, and pretty much all they do is find movies to show at the Draft House. So the resurgence of that movie is because of our very own Alamo Draft
House. This isn't one of those bad movies then. It's not.
Oh no, it's bad.
Oh,
it's so bad it's good.
Did you hear the premise?
Did you hear the premise?
Yeah, I thought did they do something good with
that? No. They want
How could you do something good with that?
It belongs up from what I hear, it belongs right up there with Birdemic and Troll 2.
Oh wow.
All the classics, baby. So actually can I dovetail off of your recommendation, Luke? Of Troll 2?
Yeah.
There's a movie called Troll Hunter that is about giant trolls, and it takes place in Norway, and it has to do with, like, the mythology of trolls. It's very cool. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend it. There we go.
Recommended it.
I think you should see it.
Okay.
People of listening.
I've passed it up on Netflix, so maybe I'll watch it.
I would recommend it. It's one that I saw on Netflix, and I was like, I gotta buy it, so I did.
Is it a bad movie too?
It is not a bad movie.
Really?
It is a good found footage movie.
Found footage.
Everyone I've recommended it to has really enjoyed it. So Troll Hunter is on Netflix. We'll watch it sometime, Lucas, or you can borrow mine. So that's one. I'm also going to recommend the Gamera movies, but not in their original form, in the Mystery Science Theater form. Gamera is a knockoff of Godzilla. He's a turtle that spits fire and can fly around.
He's hilarious.
And Mystery Science Theater took, I think, 5 different Gamera movies and dubbed over them. And if you haven't seen Mystery Science Theater, you don't love us enough.
How are they
you don't
wrong?
Love your creative crew. Anyways, The Gamera ones are some of my favorites. Who doesn't love giant monsters fighting while robots make fun of them? So
yes.
It's pretty much the perfect recommendation if you like Pacific Rim, because it has robots and monsters fighting in an intellectual manner. And it has one of my favorite Mystery Science Theater jokes, where a little boy climbs on top of Gamera, and Gamera like tries to gently set him down, but the boy falls, and his dad grabs him and is like, "Wake up, Billy!" And he's shaking him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, just shake his spine around right after he falls from a great..." And the first time I saw that, I just lost it, man. So that is one I've heard. I've never watched it. I do plan on watching it. Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's an anime. Have you seen any of it, Luke?
No.
It's an anime that supposedly Pacific Rim maybe rips from too much. Is a bit too much like. That's one. Has anybody ever seen Gundam? Any Gundam fans? We need Birdie here.
Never seen any of the movies.
I actually like one of the most hated Gundams of all the Gundams. It's called Mobile Fighter G Gundam, and it's because the things the robots can do are very ridiculous. They can move way too fast, and they use guns, and so I don't know. Anyways, I kind of like that one, and mainly I'm a little biased because one of the coolest people in it is this German guy, and they're from different nations, so yeah. The guy from the U.S. is so corny. I hate him.
Yeah. Or are you talking about Pacific Rim now?
No. Okay. I'm talking about Gundam.
Okay.
And then I have one more just for my brother. There's actually a pretty cool show called Big O, and it's about a guy that he's kind of like if Batman, instead of becoming Batman, he just was a guy with a giant robot suit, because he lives in this kind of dark dystopian city like Gotham, and he uses his giant robot suit to serve justice. But it's like a Pacific Rim size robot, so... Pretty nice. Cool movie. There's some really great episodes in there. There's some stuff that's so-so, but overall I would recommend it because it's only like 20 episodes, so you can get through it pretty quick. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Anybody else have any monster movie recommendations?
Monsters.
Monsters. Okay, seriously though, when you were like Monsters and Aliens, I was like Monsters versus Aliens.
Oh,
easy answer.
Oh, I forgot about that one. That was a great movie.
That was a great movie. I loved it.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Okay,
go
ahead.
Stop.
Back to the closet, Chris.
I just have a question. I haven't been able to watch the last podcast. Did Birdie talk about the fact that Real Steel was like...
I think she mentioned it, but okay. You know.
No, because yeah. I was thinking about that too.
I never saw Real Steel because it looked dumb.
It was dumb.
It was dumb.
Okay, honestly, one of my favorite alien movies, or like air quotes alien movies, is K-Pax from...
K-Pax.
Yeah,
is that the one with Kevin Spacey?
Yes.
Oh my god. That's not even like an action movie.
No, it's
Luke
not.
Wants you to get closer to the mic.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's just because I love Kevin Spacey and that movie is just wonderful.
Okay.
Anyways, but yeah, so I don't know. I love all the cliche ones like Godzilla and basically monster movies, just yes.
Just yes.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any robot movies?
The only robot movie I can think of off the top of my head is iRobot.
Same here.
Did not see that one because it also looked dumb.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Murat, I have one for you to recommend.
It was not dumb.
Okay.
Say Jaws.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Jaws!
I
actually already
Jaws?
Knew that because I just want people to tweet at CreatedListen and say, Murat, watch Jaws, because... It is amazing. And Luke also hasn't seen it. I'm aware of it.
What?
Well, you need to fix that. It's your job.
We're going to do a movie marathon where we watch classics. It'll be like Chris's choice of classics. Good. And Jaws is not only the best shark movie, the best monster movie, and I don't know if you could call it true horror, but it is just one of the, for me, it's probably top 10 movies I've ever seen. I love Jaws
much.
It is amazing.
Because it's too scary?
Because I have a very real fear of sharks.
Well, it's only going to get worse, but you're going to watch it. For the sake of the podcast, please watch it.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, Noah. I want you to answer a question. Have you seen Jaws?
I have.
Okay. Good. We're good. We're good, bro.
We're good, bro.
It's good.
I'm going to
go
fight.
I want to make one other recommendation for Bethany. There's a Mystery Science Theater called Devilfish. And, yeah, she loves it. It's hilarious. And it's the only Mystery Science Theater I've ever seen where they had to use the logo to censor someone who accidentally was flashing the camera.
Oh my goodness.
And here's a hint. It was a guy.
Oh my goodness.
An Italian guy. Because he's climbing a ladder and he's wearing his short Italian shorts.
That's so funny.
They edited the film when the film had itself had not realized that they were. Yeah. So that part, when I first saw that, I was like I laughed so hard. I was all over the floor, just like writhing and rolling. My stomach hurt so bad because I was like, they had to edit this movie because it's Italian guy. Anyways.
Alien-wise, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Just the basic. I love it.
It's true. So there you go. There's some
and a happy one, Little Shop of Horrors.
Actually, that's a good monster.
I love that movie.
Yeah, the Rick Moranis one.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve Martin has a great.
And it's like a musical part in that too. Movie.
It's a pretty interesting musical. Impressive puppet work.
Yes.
In that film.
Yeah. I just love it. It's so funny.
Not my favorite, but good.
It's probably one of my favorite musicals because I don't like musicals.
Yeah. Best musical ever for my money, Singing in the Rain.
Agreed.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
Thank you. That's why I'm the host.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what's up. Nah, I'm kidding.
So humble.
I'm just so excited to be here with you guys to slam all of your faces in the mud when you're wrong.
You know what? You made me go to church camp.
I'm gearing. We'll get to that. All right, let's talk Comic-Con right now, real quick, and things that are coming up. So you can talk about the trailer, some of the trailers we've seen, or anything. But I want to bring up something I don't think any of you have seen. Actually, Noah, have you seen Legend of Korra?
Yes,
I've
okay.
Heard
well, about they it. Talked about it Comic-Con. The next one is coming up. They're working on it. I don't have the exact
second
date.
Season.
But out of everything I heard out of Comic-Con, I was like, you know what? This speaks to me kind of on a more personal level because I feel like diehard nerds like me know that this is like one of the best cartoon shows ever put on TV. Legend of Korra, the first season was amazing. If you have not seen it, seek it out. Online in a legal fashion. That was a good way to put it that, right?
Legal.
I'm waiting for them to just put out a huge Avatar The Last Airbender set.
That'd be great.
Like a big like box or something.
But you don't have room for that.
Sure I do. I'll make room. I'll just push Bethany out of the bed. I'm kidding. So Legend of Korra was one thing I was really excited about. Did anybody catch up on Comic-Con news? It happened... the last Sunday I was there, I was in L.A. I wanted to drive to San Diego, but I didn't have time.
Because
I had to get on a plane and come home. Trailers that are coming up?
Haven't seen anything.
Well, you saw a Catching Fire trailer.
Well, I did.
I was hinting towards that. The new Catching Fire trailer, where it actually starts to talk about Katniss is going to go back to the Hunger Games, was really sweet.
Has everyone here read the books?
No.
No.
I think you're the only one.
Are you kidding? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I'm glad I haven't read the books.
I kind of
no.
am too.
No.
Okay. Because I heard if you've read the books, the movies are a little worse.
Yeah.
You're right, but
people always say that, but that's not always true.
Well,
that's a whole show, though.
Yeah, that is a whole show.
Yeah. What are you saying, Meredith?
What the books are awesome, and if you haven't read them,
I just have so many books that I want to read. I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Well, still, if you haven't, go read the books because they're phenomenal, right. And waiting until the movies all come out is going to be forever and no.
Boo-hoo-hoo.
They
finally finished all the Harry Potter movies and all the Twilight movies.
Twilight sucks.
But they
Harry
had
Potter's
to think
awesome.
About all the books they had to get through, and they split some of them into two. I mean, they did it.
Yeah.
They did do
got
it.
Got through
it took
all
forever.
The Lord of the Rings and
if
the
I
Hobbit.
If I had to wait until all the Harry Potters had come out to read them, I would be in tears.
Okay.
Half my life.
Noah, you probably didn't even know Comic-Con was going on.
No, I did.
Oh, you did.
I wasn't able to follow it.
Murad, anything? Comic-Con news you heard?
I saw a few things, but nothing that impressed me.
Well, did anybody follow any Marvel stuff? Because they made
a
fairly big announcement. Avengers.
Yes.
Go, Meredith.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't going to talk about Marvel. I'm sorry. I was on the next thing already. I was on the whole Batman and Superman movie that's coming out.
I was waiting for somebody to bring it up.
I'm incredibly stoked.
What?
They're mixing Batman and Superman.
They're going to do a Batman-Superman movie, and if Zack Snyder directs it, it's going to be all kinds of awful. So Zack Snyder is not fit to direct Batman. That is my statement on this film.
I don't think anybody
Only way
will
they
be
could
more
do it
fit
if it
than
was
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know what? I think they find some guy that has done one or two interesting indie movies, that's a real comic nut, loves Batman and Superman, and does a world's finest movie that actually is lives up to its name.
Now, so, is this from the last movie you've seen them bringing the name?
They're bringing in
new...
What? What? Luke's hand signal?
Yeah. I'm trying to get you to move closer. There you go.
Or is it new? Entirely new stories.
I believe it's going to be taken from Man of Steel and just bring Batman into that world, as I understand it. But they haven't said much other than it's happening. So I am fearful. I'm quite fearful.
I'm just excited.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's but what if
Zack Snyder directs it?
Then I will be royally disappointed. But until I.
But
hear
I'm pretty
that?
Sure he's going to direct it.
Until I hear that, I'm just going
to
be excited.
I'm just excited because it'll inevitably lead to Justice League in the future.
Yeah, but I think Justice League, the way they're talking about it, DC is doing everything wrong when it comes to... Marvel is hot right now for me because...
they did it right.
What they're doing, they did it right. They were patient. They established it in a way. When I saw Iron Man 1, I had no idea that Nick Fury was going to pop up at the end of the movie. And I flipped out, okay? Because for me, that was 27 years of nerddom all coming together, all right? So I guess at the time it was more like 24 years. But anyways.
You're rounding up.
Actually, it's less than... Wow, that was a while ago. anyways, Justice League, they're doing so many things wrong, whereas Marvel... In the movies, they're doing so much right, and in the comics right now, which I know none of you are reading, but Uncanny Avengers is so good. It's Avengers and X-Men teaming up together, and they're fighting. If you've ever heard of the character Apocalypse, it's like his kids. Well, actually, it's somebody else's, but I won't spoil everything. The Hulk is really good right now. Thor is amazing right now. It's all good. You guys don't care. Whatever. Some nerd out there is like, yeah, he's right. Preach it, brother. and DC only has a few good books. So, in fact, in my opinion, DC only has one great writer right now, Scott Snyder. So, what are you going to do?
I'm not impressed with DC right now.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for this movie.
I'm not so much.
Okay, anyways, you were talking about Marvel before I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. We can move on. Comic-Con news over. If you're a nerd and you listen to us, you probably already have dug in all the Comic-Con stuff. Plus, a lot of people think Comic-Con is kind
of
selling out. And
some
they did,
of the pictures...
They let Twilight in, so they did sell out.
Yeah, they
so,
did.
What are you going to do?
Yeah,
that's
bad.
That's bad. That's a bad thing.
Some of the pictures were just hilarious, though. I love after Comic-Con all the things that show up on the internet. I'm just yes, I love people!
You do?
I love nerds.
Okay. Oh, nerds. I love nerds who will still be nerds even when the superhero movies get bad again or something. Or whatever happens. I don't know. Well, they were bad before.
Beautifully
bad. When they get bad again.
When people get tired of them. Think about this. People use the Western analogy right now. Westerns were huge in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
They slowly puttered out. In replacement for a lot of sci-fi stuff.
But they're still popular in their own way.
They're still
out,
around.
Big...
I'm just saying, think about how many Westerns come out as compared to how many sci-fi movies. And it used to be, a lot of people don't know this, boxing stories used to be huge. Just stories about boxers that would travel around and have boxing matches. Like, that was as popular as swashbuckling adventures or as military stories. They were just, people were into it. Anyways, that's your lesson today, nerds. Listen up. Mm-hmm. We'll get back in the swing of things. And this was a segment one.
Yes.
Oh
it
my
was
God.
Segment one. We've been on
it's
this.
Been
you guys,
a long day.
You guys, we shouldn't have. At what?
7:45.
Whatever. I don't care, Murad. It's 7:45 a.m., everybody. We shouldn't have partied all night, you guys, and then said, now let's podcast.
Woo!
All right. We have to eat spaghetti now. So we'll see you in segment two.
Maybe. Bye.
Segment 2, episode 25. We're having a good time. It's your good friends, the Creative Listening Crew. We're laughing. We're just going to do a review of The Wolverine. And before we get there, we have all the same people. You know who they are. Right, Luke? No. Sound off. Everyone besides you is laughing.
I have no idea who these people are. All right, are. Noah. They showed up at our door.
They showed up. I don't know. Do you want me to introduce them, or you just want me to?
I'm Meredith, and to my left is Mirad.
Okay, we have one sane person among the three.
All right.
And to my leftist is Luke. I mean, is Luke? No. Is
Noah. Leftist? Across the table?
Across?
I think Luke is a right winger, just to expose him. All right, so we do want to mention real quick, next week we're going to continue the cartoon movie marathon. We've let that slip. We're going to do Grave of the Fireflies. So if you want to watch Grave of the Fireflies, watch it, and we will be reviewing it.
Can I just say right
none
now?
None of us have seen it.
That sounds like a horrible kids movie.
It's
Grave
not,
of the Fireflies.
It's not really a kids movie, and I hear it's a real tearjerker, so...
Then why aren't we sticking him on?
Because it's going to be awesome.
It's a cartoon movie. We could stick like a family guy.
Actually, I think
we should do a puppet movie marathon and watch Dark Crystal.
Yes.
Put that on the list of things to do later. All right. So we want to talk The Wolverine, though, because some of us didn't like it, and some of us did. In fact, I think it may be one of the most opposed we've had. So first is our non-spoiler review, and you know what? I don't want to go first. So who wants to talk about it? Mirad is ready to roll. All right,
yes,
Mirad, give us your non-spoiler review.
Well, I think when movies like this, there's two different ratings. Avid movie, just a moviegoer, someone who goes to just watch movies, and then someone who actually knows something about Wolverine and stuff like that.
Right.
And for just a moviegoer, I think this is actually a pretty good movie. It's not the greatest storyline, but the action is very good. It's filmed very well, and I would give it probably like a 7 for it. It just as a movie by itself.
Yeah.
But when you go into the knowing anything about Wolverine, I think you have to give it like a 2.
Is that a 7 out of a 20?
10.
That's about what I would rate it. Actually, more like a 7 out of 25.
So, Chris, you going next then?
Well, I just have to pick apart. First of all, Murad said something about it's filmed very well, but the first half of it, all the action is shaky cam.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't notice that?
I noticed that.
I thought everything I saw, I could see. Well enough. It wasn't like
Cloverfield.
Like Superman.
But Cloverfield is supposed to be shaky cam because it's in a guy's hands. This is filmed like
it's a fight scene.
Dolly.
They wanted it to be shaky cam.
They gave it a Hunger Games edit.
Okay. Yes, they did.
They gave it a Hunger Games edit.
Sorry. I will say this, though. For some of the action scenes, it kind of was okay. I thought it had something to it.
I thought you could see it very well. And that's what I was judging. Like, you could. For me, I saw everything.
I did, but not at the beginning.
Okay. Well, it was subtle, but it was not so subtle enough that you didn't you noticed it.
Yeah. I thought every opportunity they had, and they had so many opportunities to make it a more interesting film, a better film. Let's just start at the beginning. It starts in World War II, and Wolverine is in a well, all locked up. So obviously, they know he's dangerous, and they can't kill him. Apparently. But they don't tell us why they know any of that. I would rather have seen some of that for 10 minutes than just like, hey, we're going to get bombed in a character that Wolverine has no relation to. Wolverine just saves.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of sudden.
Well, no, but okay, if we're doing a non-spoiler, I can't say what I want to say. But I'm saying he has,
Wolverine has a heart. So you can
he does have a heart, but like, it's just because like the 2 seconds before that is kind of a buildup of why he wanted to save him. He knew he didn't want to go.
But you just took out your own point. The 2 seconds before that, you get 2 seconds of relationship building. And this is hardly a spoiler.
He's
it's like,
a superhero.
No, he's not.
Superman,
he's the Wolverine.
Did they
Superman
know
Superman doesn't know who he's going to save. He's not like, oh, that's my BFF down there. Best go save him. No.
Go ahead,
Your point is invalid.
Do they know he... I mean, I don't think they know that he's actually something more dangerous than other prisoners.
Well, he's locked in a well.
And he was completely separate from all the other prisoners.
Yeah, he was separate from everybody else.
Well, he could have been a sergeant of the company or something like that. You know,
he's not Chinese.
But of an American, because they took a prisoner.
Yeah, well, actually...
This is during World War II.
But
why was his brother not with him? That's what I was wondering.
What, Sabretooth?
Yeah, because in all of the scenes in all the other movies, when they're fighting,
they're
together.
We're nitpicking stuff that's not too much in the film, though.
Yeah.
Because I just want to say, all right, Mirad already gave an out of 10. Here's my out of 10, 5.5.
You like, are aware that giving a 7 out of 25
barely,
and a 5.5 out of 10
very different.
Are very Fine. Different.
Well, you know what? I was just being harder to drive it home. But, like, this is barely an above-average action movie. It is generic. It's not what I want from an action movie, and certainly not what I want from a Wolverine movie. Somebody else give me their out of 10 score. Don't think too hard.
I would probably say a 6 out of 10. Okay. I mean, it wasn't,
so you're defending a movie that you don't even...
It wasn't amazing, and it was certainly my least favorite X-Men film.
Oh, no. Wolverine Origins is worse than this.
No, I disagree.
Oh,
but,
Origins is awful.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's I still bad. Think this one's worse, but...
Really?
But I... Okay, as someone, like, as a geek who likes this kind of stuff, I wasn't a super fan of it. But as a movie, for people who don't go to movies very often, I think that's a good movie to go see because it incorporates action and a little bit of romance and sci-fi.
But when you try to appeal to all those things and miss on all of them, you get a bad movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie.
You make me
want to
lower
my
score with that argument.
I think Wolverine, they missed entirely everything.
Of the character?
Yes, the character.
I agree, too.
Yeah. That's why I gave it to you. I mean, it was terrible. If
I mean, like,
they
didn't
work with Viper.
Anything about his, like, history, really, like...
Well, there's, like, nine other movies
Noah,
to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Noah, but... what's your out of 10 score?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Probably 4.
Don't overthink it. Wow. 4?
Yeah.
4? Okay.
4 out
Luke?
Of 10.
Luke? 8, actually. I kind of liked it.
Wait, so Luke liked it the most?
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that either.
As I'm listening to you guys, I'm noticing little issues in there, but I didn't read the comics. This is the first time seeing a Wolverine film. I kind of liked it.
Okay, pretend Wolverine's a character introduced in this film.
Did you see any of the X-Men?
What?
Nope.
What? Really?
You haven't
what?
Seen
X-Men, what? X-Men 2, X-Men 3?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Movie marathon time. Right now.
Well, we'll have to get to that.
Shut it off.
All right. So, Luke, you don't even have to pretend. Other than, just pretend you've never heard of Wolverine before this. But take the story we saw... And just plug it into, like, your formula for rating movies. What is it that you liked about it that justifies an 8?
Well, it was basically Ron Swanson with claws.
No, don't say that.
Okay. Ron Swanson could have taken this version of Wolverine any day of the year.
Okay, well, I liked Wolverine's character. I thought he was pretty cool.
Okay.
You like people who don't like people.
Okay. I like, that's true. But... I like a lot of the action scenes, too, except for, let's see, there's this part where they were just following them while they were running and this whole shaky cam thing. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought it was a decent movie.
Okay. Compared to, I think you gave some other movies this summer lower scores than that.
Really? What?
I want to say...
Almost all.
No, because you gave Iron Man a really high one, but I can't remember your Star Trek score.
I liked Star Trek a lot.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's just the lowest of your all super high scores. Luke just loves movies.
Well, I
think there's something to be said about that purity, though.
I think I'm biased, though, because I really liked the soundtrack for the movie.
Yeah, it did have a decent soundtrack. I noticed that, too, which I was surprised you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, though, it was, I can't unread the X-Men stories I've read. And you know what? Wolverine is not my favorite character. I didn't come in like ready for the best Wolverine movie ever because I saw Origins and it's the same director. So my low expectations were completely met. So many of the characters, I really only cared about the two Japanese women and one of them, not even that much. I think it's Yuriko. Is the one with the red hair.
I loved her.
I would rather just watch a movie about her than this version of Wolverine.
Honestly, her backstory was one of my favorite parts of the entire movie.
Yeah. And Wolverine in this movie is not like a wounded soldier. He's like, it's like they castrated him and just made him stale. I don't know. I understand the reason he wasn't interested in fighting, but at some point he should have been like, all right, I'm mad. Let me cut a bunch of people up. And he does that early on. And then later he's like, well, I don't want to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's an early scene where he hacks up a bunch of guys, but then later he's not so much interested in fighting anymore. I don't know. I just found it to be,
I did have an issue though with when he didn't have his healing properties, and he was taking bullets.
Yeah, he was taking gunshots.
He was like toward the.
To me, it was like he was just powered down, not completely powerless. Did anybody else get that?
Yeah. I did. Because it wasn't that he lost his powers per se. It was that something was
really wrong,
kind of draining him.
They weren't gone; they were just being oozed away.
It was like instead of running a marathon and drinking water, he ran a marathon and drank milk, and now he's like, "Oh, I can't really do this right now."
milk was a bad choice.
All right, anything people want to add into before we? Because I feel like I can't even properly review this without giving spoilers. So
I know it's really hard.
Yeah,
I liked it, and I think it was worth watching. I didn't rank it super high because I wasn't. I don't know.
I'm debating whether or not I'll even buy the DVD like used sale.
I would buy it used on sale. That's dramatic.
Maybe
I won't buy it. Like, as soon as it comes out.
Like, if I go to Hastings, I'll get it as my one for a dollar when I buy two good movies, maybe.
Gosh. You are being dramatic about this. It wasn't horrible. It was still an X-Men movie and still decent. It was the least of the X-Men, though, in my opinion.
All right. That's Meredith's review. Noah?
Also, can I just say I didn't...
That's what Noah thinks.
Sorry, but I don't think they did a good job with Viper.
I didn't like Viper that
much. We'll get to that character. I have plenty to say, but I don't even want to cover that yet.
Viper? Oh, you don't want to cover it?
I don't want to cover that yet, because I feel like it's going to get too much in spoilers. All
right.
Yeah.
Oops.
Luke, anything non-spoiler you want to say before we...
Soundtrack was awesome.
Yeah. This is probably the first one this summer, at least of big blockbusters, I don't recommend. I don't think I can recommend... Go see this one. I can't say that. The more I think about it, the more I don't like it. I think in the theater I was trying to get myself to like it more, but it didn't help that I saw Pacific Rim the day before.
See, I liked it. I went to the premiere and I sat by some dude who was like a super hardcore X-Men fan.
See, he made you like it more.
And he made me like it more.
Yeah, see, that's sad.
So here talking about it, I'm kind of giving my
but behind
my
me, we had what I call a commentator or cheerleader, who was one of those guys that repeats every joke. And like when they say something important or when a character dies that you're like, oh, that character just needs to die. He's like, yes, thank you. Come on, do what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, their earpieces are out in the film. They can't hear you. That's why they're not doing taking your suggestions.
Dude, I looked behind me at the guy. He was like the picture of the classic nerd.
Yeah,
he was. Well,
here's the thing. He's not really – he's not a member of the Nerderati.
He's
a kid. I need to take him.
He sounded like it too.
I need to take him to Austin Comic Con and make him do 50 push-ups and train. You do a training montage where he actually, you know, becomes a nerd. Not,
I want to do. Thing. Can we film a training montage and nerd him?
Yeah, I've nerd him. Hey, I can do it. I'm making
nerd
super
herder.
Nerds. Murad, anything to add?
No, I got some stuff for the spoilers.
All right, let's get right into the spoilers.
Spoilers.
People, if you haven't seen this movie, please turn off the podcast now. Wait until you've seen it. But we're going to jump right in to one of the most predictable parts of the film for me. Oh, the old man died. Let's have his funeral. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, he's going to come back later. Yeah. I will bet every dollar in my wallet, which at the time was $15.
Yes.
Okay,
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, he's coming back. They're going to steal Wolverine's healing properties and apply them to him while he's dead. Or the robot thing.
Exactly.
And they give a whole bunch of, like, everyone looks around at each other, and it's like, okay, something is obviously going on.
Oh, yeah. The only things I really liked about Wolverine's character is that he's this fish out of water in this story, which is one of the best parts about it. But I was like, Logan, there's not much of a mystery here. Like, even you can solve this. You don't need Batman to come in and help you. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just like, hey, he wants to steal your healing factor. Yours is going away. Gee, I wonder what happened. Crisscross, maybe? I don't know. So I hated the predictability of that. Some of the jokes, there was one joke that I was just like, oh my God, that was so, like, cliche. Wolverine throws a guy out a window. The guy lands in a pool. And someone says,
How'd
you know there was a pool there? I didn't. Believe it or not, the guy behind me didn't laugh super hard and clap when he heard that one. Oh, wait, he did. I did not have a good time with this film. And one of my complaints from earlier, and y'all, hey, if you want to take me on in any of this, especially Luke, since you gave it such a high score, Wolverine shows up and a bunch of ninjas show up, and it's towards the end of the movie. And you're like, all right, Wolverine versus ninja fight. Oh, yeah, he's going to fight
some ninjas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's like, nope, I'm just going to walk past JK, all of you.
I had an issue with that. Because as he was walking. No, he wasn't running. He was walking in slow-mo.
Yes.
And the arrows were missing him. While earlier in the movie, you're seeing the ninja guy hit him with dead-on accuracy while they're running across a movie freeway.
No, and they're like 300 yards away. Yeah. So, and this one, they're like 50 feet.
Yes, and missing as he's walking in slow-mo. It's ridiculous.
And by the end of the scene, Wolverine looks like a pincushion and hasn't really thrown a punch at any ninjas.
No, he's like running a gauntlet and failing badly.
Yeah.
I was so frustrated at that point, I just leaned over to my brother and I was like, it's like acupuncture, but the new version.
But the point was, you know, Wolverine is a rough and tumble character, and they gave us the character moments of he gets to know Mariko, which is the daughter character, or the granddaughter rather, and in the comics they fall in love, and you get that story here, but there was just, there was enough of that, but there wasn't enough of what you want out of this kind of movie, which is some cool action scenes.
Yeah.
The random...
Surprisingly, the train part was one of the only good parts for me.
The random bear scene that they threw in there that could have been completely cut out, I liked.
I really didn't understand it. Like,
why they had the bear scene?
Why did he get so mad?
Yeah.
You know? I think
he was bonded with the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
and
it was
so it was
buddy.
Like that was his only friend.
Whenever he went into the bar and like attacked that guy.
He was going for justice, and then that's how he got his cojones back.
Okay.
I just think it's weird.
And then like before you knew it, there was like a gun pulled out, and like,
did anyone else think? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Luke.
Okay, hey, Chris, you said you didn't like the train part in the trailer,
but then I liked it in the movie.
Yeah,
so pretty much it was flip flop for me. I didn't like anything except for the train part.
I didn't like the train part in the trailer or in the movie.
Okay,
bam.
Why?
Okay, well, I will say it wasn't as exhilarating as Pacific Rim, this movie.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it was like, oh, okay, they're flying across
the train. Well, and I didn't even need it to be, but it didn't feel like the character of Wolverine for me. Anytime he said something to be offensive or raunchy, it felt forced. I don't know. It just...
Okay.
This movie just did not sit well with me.
Yeah, the cussing came out kind of awkward.
Yeah, the cussing came out awkward.
The love scene that was thrown in there.
Some of you guys
that made me uncomfortable because Wolverine's like 200 years old.
that's what we were.
It's like Twilight, you guys.
She was like,
also, oh, about
she's
that.
Like, she's 140 years younger than him.
Guys, did anybody see the random ninja during that thing? Just randomly, not connected to anything.
Just
random ninja just comes that? In and in a dream and
Well, it was a samurai, I believe.
The samurai.
Okay, you guys wanted to talk about Viper, so I want to hear what were your issues or what did you
for
like
me
about
because
it?
Like so Viper is a character from like the comic books, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll explain
so
Viper in detail. I want to hear you guys first.
They made her look different, which peeved me.
Okay.
As a person that didn't read the comic books, I was like, who is this chick?
Uh-huh.
Why is she like a reptilian?
They just
woman?
Threw her in.
Yeah.
There
they didn't
no
explain
backstory.
Yeah,
do
there
you
was no backstory.
They didn't even say her name until like,
I don't
she
remember.
Said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said it.
Well,
she didn't
and she
say
said
it
I'm a Viper too.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't say
it was okay. Here's my belief why the character of Viper is in this movie. 20th Century Fox owns the rights to the X-Men in the films. And not the Avengers. So my theory is that Viper is their middle finger to the Avengers because Viper originally is a character from Hydra, which is the Red Skull's organization, right? So Viper has fought the Avengers and the X-Men. So my belief is that Fox was like, well, we're going to take a character that they could have used in the Avengers and put her in a movie first so that they can't use her. that is pretty much my whole reason I believe that happened because you really don't need her in the plot. Because they also call her Madam Hydra. She's like the female Red Skull in the 20th century.
Oh.
And a lot of times she has green hair. The green was kind of right on. But her powers and stuff, of everything I've read, she actually doesn't even have powers. So.
And why in the world does it just involve her, like,
what, crazy making out tongue. On people?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, can we just make it to where she can, like, do it with her hands or something rather than shove her tongue down your throat and lick your face? It's just awkward.
I will give one credit to the film. A female character that some people might say is unnecessary is I like that they had Jean Grey in there.
And, I did too.
In Wolverine's mind. So there's at least one good thing I can say.
And I liked how she was like, why are you saying Jean while you sleep? And I was like, awkward.
She really pushes it on him too. Yeah. She's like, who's Jean? Because they're talking about something else.
Yeah, she asked him multiple times.
Murad, you look like you have something to say.
Oh, I did like that. I like the connection to X-Men 3.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that, honestly. Yeah. It was a nice touch.
Luke?
I have nothing else
to say. Okay. Anything else about the film that we want to pick apart or actually pat on the back?
The robot parts?
Oh, Silver Samurai, yeah.
The end.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, again, because I didn't read the comic books, so I was, like, lost at that
point. Okay, in my opinion,
over the top,
the Silver Samurai should have just been the one samurai character that was in love with the granddaughter. It should have just been him in, like, a super suit, not, like, a mech suit. Does that make sense?
He was too
big. Because originally in the comics,
that should have been the
villain. Originally in the comics, it's a guy with mutant powers. I thought it was going to be him, but they took it a direction that I thought was really dumb.
Actually. It really
like,
is.
It was just like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Well, you notice he was kind of set up to be like the Japanese Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Because he has his big company, and then he builds a robot suit and wants to live forever. Yeah.
But like in my opinion, that should have been the villain. They should have made that last a lot longer. And made Viper kind of
the last 5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then it's like a pathetic fight scene, and then it's like, okay, let's push him off.
They could have kept
Viper. And they killed him. I didn't like that they killed him.
I didn't like how easy they killed him.
I don't
know. It was seriously like a 2 minute fight scene, and then he's out the window.
Honestly, if they definitively killed him,
he's like 90 years old in a broken suit.
Yeah, but he might have been like, the healing factor came back, and then I crawled away in the armor.
You can't be revived twice. That's
Do you realize we're talking about a comic book movie? The villain can live through anything.
If the previous movies directed by this guy are that bad, then what Chris is saying makes perfect sense.
Thank you, Luke.
No, Luke, they're not going to bring him back twice.
I think it makes sense. I still think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean... I think they totally mess up with Silver Samurai.
Yeah, like, they should have done
that. Oh, yeah.
He's a better villain
than imagine, they portrayed him to be. Imagine the one samurai character, the bow and arrow guy, getting just adamantium swords and armor and stuff like that and just fighting Wolverine that way. I think that would have been 100 times cooler.
That would have been 100 times cooler. And he's in the entire movie.
Yeah, I know. And And then there's that obvious line where that guy's talking to the armor, and he's like, not this way. And I'm like, oh, gee, I wonder if he's talking to somebody who's inside of there.
I
was ready to throw something at the screen by that point. We obviously loved this. Tweet at us, at Created Listen. No. Meredith, do you have anything?
No, I changed my
mind. I don't really want to talk about it anymore. I just want to go watch Pacific Rim again.
Let's go. Dude, let me say this real quick. Pacific Rim, awesome. Lived up to everything.
Yeah.
It's the summer savior.
The summer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't understand.
I think the only other one that really stacks up to me was Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, I agree.
I really did enjoy that one. But Pacific Rim, I just can't give enough accolades to simply because it's fully aware of what kind of movie it is and embraces that.
Did you read reviews on that movie?
Well, it still has, I've heard good and bad. I mean, it's kind of mixed. But one of my favorite, like, snooty film critics, if you ever listen to Film Spotting, one of the hosts there really liked it. And he's usually the type of person that, like, he didn't like X-Men First Class.
I love it.
Which
movie.
A lot of film, you know, film critics liked that one.
Love it.
But he thought it was too corny. Whatever. Let's talk about the singer in this movie. Speaking of which, X-Men First Class. So, if you did not stay after the credits,
wait. You made a terrible
mistake.
Did y'all?
You did, Noah, right? Noah's looking at me weird.
What?
You saw the Easter egg.
Okay. The Easter egg, or the stinger, as it's called. Okay, so in the stinger, first of all, I gotta say, Trask Industries is mentioned when Wolverine's in the airport. Meredith, you Googled this, but I don't think anybody else knows what this is.
Yeah, look around. Okay.
Trask Industries built the Sentry, Sentinel robots from X-Men. So that's why Magneto shows up and is like, all of us are in danger, because he knows that Trask is working on the Sentinels, which Magneto has always been the best defense against them, though, obviously, because he can just smash them into bits. But that is the next X-Men movie is going to be about Days of Future Past, which is where the Sentinels pretty much win, and all the mutants, like a mutant holocaust. So they're trying to prevent the past from ruling the future, you could say.
Yeah.
Which is a really good X-Men story. So,
and something just mentioned, Professor X shows up.
Yes, also shows up. Oh, yeah. Which was good to see Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart back.
Yes.
That was great.
I am going to go ahead and mention something else. We talked about Comic-Con before, and nobody else brought it up, so I'm going to talk about it now. Did you guys hear about there was a trailer shown for X-Men First Class 2, or whatever they're going to call it, or Days of Future Past? James McAvoy, young Professor X, in the trailer, at the very end, is talking to Patrick Stewart and tells him, I don't want to help you save your future, or something like that. Which Days of Future Past, like I said, it's all about preventing like the Sentinels from ever being made or something along those lines, so that there isn't this future mutant holocaust, which could be really cool, because in the two different stories, you can have young Wolverine and then old Wolverine in the two different timelines, with like a young Kitty Pryde and an old Kitty Pryde. So they could have like, you know, a Kitty Pryde who's 40 or something like that, and Professor X is already dead, Magneto's already dead. So you can do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of new characters. So I think it could be the best X-Men movie, simply because the storyline is just so solid, and the things you can do with it. It's kind of like Terminator of X-Men movies. So does cool. that sound cool? Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I just blew everybody's minds.
Woo!
Meredith, did you read anything else about the Stinger that you wanted to share?
I read a lot.
You read a lot. Yeah,
I don't know.
I have those.
It's a lot of like. They're like, okay, they brought in this, which means that they could have been this. And
yeah,
so it's
yeah.
A, I mean, it's, when you read that kind of stuff, it's all people, you know, just throwing it out there and being like, hey, this. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really want to mention anything, because I just want to go watch the trailer myself for the new
Future
Past.
The original comic it's based on is only two issues, and they're really good. And I think you can get them on Comixology for like $1 a piece. So
cool.
But if you want to wait for the movie, I haven't said everything that happens in them. There's one really cool twist that really doesn't, it didn't happen in old school X-Men very much. It's happened in newer ones. So, all right. I think that's it. Don't go see the Wolverine. What?
go see it.
All right.
Unless you want to see the Stinger, which made it all worth it.
Yeah, Stinger.
Seriously, that was the best part of the entire movie.
Yeah, it may have been the best part. Except for the train. What?
Okay,
we will see you in episode 26.
Okay, guys, we're leaving. Bye.
The train is leaving the station, Meredith.
Bye.
Bye.